This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yeah, digging in the garden here. I'll be shoveling along, but it won't be for another half hour. More than that.
Yes, I was going to say.
Hey, it's a beautiful, beautiful day.
Beautiful, but hot. Yeah. We just saw somebody go running by the window. Mind you, she wasn't really running. She was slow jogging
along, basically, yeah.
But we were thinking we should just call 911 now. I'm sure she's going to be down before she
hits
the corner.
Don't be doing that stuff.
No running. It's too hot.
And I said to you just before we went to air, Charlie, that as crazy as it seems or
sounds,
somebody over the next couple of days will either leave a dog or a child in a locked car.
Don't do it.
Don't do it, for God's sake, you know? Yeah. So somebody had, I forget who the heck it was, they put their briefcase in the back seat. Always.
Oh, right, yeah,
so
yeah.
They always have an excuse to look in the back. Oh, there's little Cynthia.
That's
right.
Amazing how that can happen.
But, wow. Yeah. Oh, anyway, without...
Yes, let's not go too deep and dark
Let's be happy, be happy. This is the kind of weather that we are all hoping to get, say, last February.
I know,
right?
It's true. As much as I'm not a big fan of the heat, I'm not going to bitch about it because soon we'll be complaining about the cold.
Exactly. So, well, as you're wont, I better get busy here
with
the phone numbers.
Get to work, you bum.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. All right, in Toronto, you want to get hold of Charlie Dobbin. Here's how it goes on The Garden Show. You call this number, please, 416-360-0740. And then anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. If you happen to be a first-time caller, please let Sebastian or our new operator, Faz, know. And when you get to the air, hey, you get your garden wings.
Yes,
and our little
indeed.
Mantra is, call early, call often, one question per call. There you go.
All right. Now, of course, lots going on in the world of gardens and garden societies. So... stay with us, of course, for this entire show, because in the next 20 minutes or so, we will be joined by a special guest. Lorraine Roberts from Plant Paradise Country Gardens will be on the line to give us an update on what's going on at her beautiful country gardens. As well, she's going to talk about big open house that they're having out in Caledon next weekend. So more coming from her. The Richmond Hill Garden and Hort Society will be meeting this July the 3rd, 7:30 p.m. They meet at the McConaughey Center, which is 10100 Yonge Street. The meeting includes an awful lot of activities. Guest speaker Celia Roberts, a rose flower show. Tickets are available for an upcoming pollinator tour, and there's plants for sale as well. So that's a big meeting going on in Richmond Hill. Now, did you know that it's an interesting sale going on? It's called Whatever Your Garden Is Lacking, You'll Find It at the Buffalo Style Garden Art Sale going on this weekend. 46 vendors of garden-related art, live music, food trucks, basket raffles, and a Plant Society Avenue.
Where the heck is this happening?
For more information, it's in Buffalo. For more information, email artsale@gardensbuffaloniagara.com.
Okay.
Or there's a phone number, 716-247-5004. So if you're going across, if you're in that area, it's a huge, it's in preparation for the garden tour, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Buffalo has the biggest garden tour in North America.
But you know, it's been years actually since I've been to Buffalo. But the last time I was there, I was amazed at the reconstruction of the whole downtown area. It's beautiful.
They've done some really great advertising and marketing. It's like, do you think of Buffalo like this? And it shows, you know, rusty old.
And the snow being buried.
That's right. Snowmageddon stuff.
Yeah.
And then, but this is Buffalo.
Yeah,
there's been a lot of rejuvenation of that city. So it's can be quite a fun place to visit. Also happening, another garden tour next Sunday, July the 8th. The is put on by the Scarborough Garden and Hort Society. They're hosting from 12 noon to 4 p.m., 8 unique gardens, and an afternoon tea, all for $10. Tickets are available in the parking lot of the Scarborough Recreation Center on the day of the tour. So a week tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., tickets will be for sale, 3600 Kingston Road and Markham Road. One more thing, also next week, Sunday, July 8th, the Thornhill Hort Society is putting on their garden tour. It's self-guided. It's from 11 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. There are 10 gardens all in the Thornhill community. Tickets are only $15 each, available at Woodhill Garden Center on Steeles and Wild Birds Unlimited on Yonge Street.
Okay.
And I'll hold off all the rest of them for later.
Yeah, because we're bumping up against the time when we must take a little break here, which we'll do.
Okay.
And then when we return, we'll be having a chat with Marianne in Etobicoke. So
wonderful.
Stand by for all of that here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty, let's just get running along here with Etobicoke in mind. There's Marianne. Good morning, Marianne. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you. Charlie, in this is fertilizing time, and I use Miracle-Gro on my hose. Okay. Consequently, some of the fertilizer gets on the leaves of my plants. Mm-hmm. With this extreme heat, is that a problem?
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so but all that means is you don't want to be spraying fertilizers, insecticides, even water on plants at high noon in this heat, because it's just, it's too shocking. Particularly keeping in mind that the water coming out of the hose is so cold.
Right.
So it's those temperature extremes are very big stress on tissue, plant tissue, and you will see them curl or turn brown or be very unhappy with that. No problem though with the hose attached fertilizer spray, and they are designed, those sprays are designed to get on the leaves because there is some absorption of the fertilizer through the leaf surface.
Right.
But do it early in the day, like do it now or before now or late in the day, preferably the morning because you want your plants dry before the sun goes down. Mm-hmm. But any watering, any fertilizing, any spraying of any kind should be happening before 9 a.m. for the next week.
Okay, so if I do, as you say, what dries on those leaves is fine later in the day when the heat's there.
Yep, it's fine. The plants will be fine with that.
Wonderful. Okay. Thank you for your help.
Great question.
Thank you, Marianne.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
You know, remember the lovely lady who sent you the box of chocolates, Joan Love?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Terrific gal. And
terrific
chocolates. Every morning she's up 4 o'clock in the morning.
What?
She's out watering. Honest to
Pete.
Yeah, I know.
That's amazing.
But
does she sleep in the winter and just get up early in the summer?
I don't know, but
I hope she, well, okay, but watering every day is never a good idea.
Well,
unless she's got such a big garden that she does it in quadrants.
Like, I'm sure that's the case. She's an excellent gardener.
Yeah, if you've told me, I'd love to see her garden someday.
Well, there you go. We'll move over sometime, okay? Hey, Josephine and Pickering, welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you two this morning?
Excellent.
Great.
And yourself?
Great to be a Canadian.
Oh, you betcha.
Best going. Okay, Charlie, this is for you.
All right, I'm ready.
You know that azalea?
Yes.
From April?
That you were given as a gift.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's got leaves on it.
Okay, good.
It frost about 2/3 of them.
Okay.
I could not get the 30 fertilizer for it. The highest I could get was 20.
Okay.
I tried at Vandermeer's, Canadian Tire, and Home Depot. Couldn't get it anywhere.
Okay, so that, I think, I'm just thinking back here, I think, was Sean here when you last called?
No.
No? Okay, I was just thinking, because I remember 30-10-10, somebody recommended that to
you. Yeah, I remember you saying a 30, but I couldn't remember what came after it.
Yeah.
The highest that I got was a 20, which is good for hydrangeas.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, the main thing with an azalea is this is an acid-loving plant. So we want a fertilizer for as for plants that are acid-loving plants, the members of the Ericaceae, they love their low pH. So any fertilizer that's designed for acid-loving plants will have sulfur as an addition into that fertilizer to help keep the pH low.
Hmm. Could it be that I'm not talking very nicely to it?
Well, I was going to say, are you keeping it well-watered?
I'm keeping it well-watered.
Okay, because they do love their water.
But it's driving me nuts.
Oh, well, don't let it drive you nuts. Is it outside or inside?
No, it's inside. Can I put it outside on the porch?
Absolutely. Get it. It's going to love this humidity. So get it outside. Of course, don't put it in full sun. Just put it in a shady spot for now. Make sure it's got a bowl beneath it and there's none of that wrapping around the pot.
There's no wrapping around the pot.
So the drainage is good out of the bottom of the pot. And the saucer below, give it a good thorough watering, put it out in the shade, and let it just enjoy all this heat and humidity. Azaleas love this kind of stuff. And
I look at it, and I've told the kids, don't ever buy me another azalea.
I know sometimes people struggle with them, but you know what? They are, to my mind, they're really easy plants. Like, as long as you remember to water them, that's the main thing.
Oh, yeah. I water it okay, but it's looking at me right now, giving me dirty looks.
Oh, well, it will grow back a bunch of leaves. You'll see. And when you least expect it, it's going to get a whole bunch of buds and start flowering again for you.
Wouldn't that be a surprise?
Well, you call us when that happens.
Then you're
going to
like it again.
I'll call you again.
All righty.
Okay. Have a good Canada Day and a good weekend.
And you too. Thank you.
Thanks for waving the flag a bit there, too.
Canada Day. I don't know where, but there was like massive fireworks going off last night, sort of over towards Wonderland. Is it possible that they've got fireworks every night this weekend?
That could be.
I just seemed a bit precipitous, that's all.
Yeah. Precipitous.
Yes, it was only the 29th of June. I guess they were practicing, maybe.
Right. Now, I know this is not a first-time caller, because when I see the designation of the location, South Etobicoke, that's Sandra, who's called us before. Hi, Sandra. Good morning.
Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
Frank, happy Canada Day.
Thank you.
Yes, that's Sebastian. Even though I say Etobicoke, he still adds the south.
I know. Yeah, that's Sebastian. He's got that.
I have a question about my sage.
Uh-huh.
I've been growing it now for, I don't know, 25 years, and I've never seen anything on the leaves in the way of a blight, I'm guessing. It's just a few leaves, so I cut them all off. Mm-hmm. But there were black marks in the middle of the leaf. I couldn't see any insect. If I hold the leaf up to the light, it almost looks translucent.
Oh, interesting. So when that happens, when a leaf actually ends up looking a bit like stained glass, because the tissue has actually been removed in the middle of the leaf, it's an insect called a leaf miner. So it mines the leaf and it chews through inside the leaf and ends up leaving that sort of clear see-through look to the leaf.
But the clear see-through look is only visible if you hold it up to the light.
Right.
On the plant, it looks like
a black
mark, and it's in the middle. Mm-hmm. There's nothing being eaten through the leaf.
Hmm. No.
So it's intact.
Yeah, you would never see the actual entry holes or exit holes, very small insects.
No.
But good idea when you do remove the leaves that have any spots on them, and do remove them from the property. So put them right into the garbage.
I did that, and it was just a few leaves, so I thought, well, I'll cut them off straight away.
Good idea.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I should be doing something. It's just,
no.
Don't know what it is.
No, don't do anything. Sage or salvia is extremely tough plant. So even if you lose a few leaves along the way, not the end of the world. I will do a quick bit of research here to see if there's something going on that I'm unaware of. But off the top of my head, don't worry about it. Just do what you've done. Good garden hygiene.
I tried looking in my gardening books as well, and I couldn't find any.
That's right, because it just doesn't happen.
Nothing's ever attacked it.
That's right.
Nothing's ever
It's not a very edible plant. It's such a strong, pungent plant that most insects do not choose to eat it. So
I was so surprised. And I wondered what. If it was being burnt, surely more of the plant would be looking brown.
Right. Yeah, I mean, certainly the heat, we're going to see some response. Some of the plants are going to respond to all this heat, and we'll end up seeing some spots, some curling of the leaves, a certain amount of stress because of this high heat. Many of our plants aren't used to this kind of heat, so they're just like, what? But the plants we find, we'll just might see a little bit of leaves, just as you've done, remove from the property.
Thank you.
Okay,
thanks, Sandra.
Keep cool.
And you too.
You
happy
bet.
Canada Day.
That's a darn good suggestion for this weekend and in the whole coming week, as a matter of fact. We have to take a little bit of a break, but I'm looking forward to welcoming our next caller because the next caller is a first-time caller. I got to get my bell out and start ringing it very shortly.
It's an exercise.
Here on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And the sous chef of the garden, Frank Proctor,
that's
here.
That's a good point.
Yes.
The under gardener.
That's
you're
right.
You're the best.
I don't get promoted very often.
So, for sure.
But I do have
10
this little
years
bell.
And you're still not
which,
promoted.
Which, by the way, is a Salvation Army bell.
I know. Yeah. It could come in handy sometime in the future. You never
that's
know.
That's right. All right. Wait a minute. There it is. There's that bell for Shirley, first-time caller from Hamilton. Hi, Shirley. Good morning.
Good morning, Frank and Charlie.
Good morning.
Happy Canada Day
you bet
to
you.
Both of you. I'm calling about my climbing roses, which were absolutely beautiful, but with all the wind and rainstorms that we've had, the canes at the top half of them have all bent over. And I tried to, you know, support them and tie them back and so on, but it really wasn't successful. So I was wondering if you had some suggestion for me. I was wondering whether I could cut some of it back and whether that would be a good thing. I know this isn't the right time of the year to do that for roses, but...
No, but where are they climbing? On a wall? On a
trellis? They're climbing, well, they're kind of outside my kitchen window, and they're not really... They're tall, but they're not really climbing. You know, they're about 8-10 feet tall, and they have a wrought iron support, sort of an oblong support thing there, and you know, they finished flowering, and they were absolutely beautiful, but now they look pretty sad.
So if with that wind and the bending and the, you know, being whipped around, they've ended up actually, you know, literally bending so that when you look at the from above the bend, the leaves look wilted or twisted or curled. Or, and, you know, they're just not, like you say, just not happy from that point. Do not hesitate. Get out some sharp pruners and prune below where the bend happened.
Okay.
Obviously just above a leaf.
Yeah, that could be close to 3 or 4 feet. Is that still okay?
Yeah, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. If those canes will not survive because of the damage that has happened, like you said, in the wind, etc., better to cut right down and do it now. You will find that once this heat is passed, you'll get some new growth from that point where you have cut, and that's fine. And they will just look green and bushy. And if they are ever blooming roses, then you're likely to get some more flowers on them. Remember, this is our last month to do any fertilizing on our roses within the month of July, because by the end of July, we are cutting off all fertilizer in the garden. So that's another way to encourage some new growth to come
back. Yeah, there's lots of new growth down near the ground, right?
Right.
So, I mean, they're still alive. And,
of course. Oh, yeah, they'll still be alive.
But they're pretty sad looking, and they're also obstructing my entrance stairs.
But you don't want that.
No.
No, that's right. Remember, you are the master. The plants will try and take over, but you are in charge. So when a climbing rose, I have the same thing where they kind of shoot out down a walkway at the side of my house, and I am ruthless. I say, no, I do not want that cane there. So if it's shooting out in a walkway, I just go right back and cut it back, whatever the time of year. It doesn't matter.
Just cut back. Well, I've been toying with this for the last couple of weeks, and I thought, oh, heck, I'm going to call you and get your expert advice on it, because I didn't want to kill the plant.
Oh, no, you won't kill. I mean, if you took 90% of the plant away, yes, you might kill it. But to take a couple of canes off, no big deal.
Yeah, well, it's going to be more than a couple of canes,
well, like,
because
I said,
it's a fairly big...
Well, that's fine. That's
yeah.
Right. But like I said, you can fertilize to support some new growth, which will make you feel better and the rose as well.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I listen to the program all the time. I love the love your program. I love your show, and I always get lots of good tips.
Excellent. Stuff, thank you. Appreciate
thanks for
that.
Joining us.
Yes.
And okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Yeah. Wave that Canadian flag now.
That's right. Okay. We should be wearing like. Oh, I
yeah.
am sort of wearing
well,
a red.
You're wearing red.
Yeah,
we really I never thought
that.
Of that.
Hey, we've got a special guest.
We do indeed, and I know she is on the line right now. I'll let you introduce her.
All right. Well, I would like to introduce and welcome back Lorraine Roberts from Plant Paradise Country Gardens. She and her husband run a beautiful, it is considered a botanical garden. It's also considered an organic mm-hmm. perennial farm. So it's a place you can go buy plants. You can wander around, enjoy some of the gardens. And Lorraine is an author as well.
I had a peek at this book that you have. Oh my God, Lorraine, it's beautiful.
Spectacular plant combinations. Wonderful, good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning.
How are things up in Caledon?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Very hot, though.
I was going to say, not too hot. you know it. But how are your gardens? I imagine you've done some expansion since I was last there.
We have expanded, and the gardens are looking beautiful. Even though we don't water our gardens, they're looking very beautiful and blooming. The peonies have just finished blooming.
Right.
So they were spectacular this year.
But, you know, don't you think that we've been pretty lucky with the rain this year, I find, or where I'm in Richmond Hill. It feels like when we have had rain, it's been a good rain, like a good soaking rain. But then we've gone, you know, 10 days, 2 weeks with no rain, and then we'll get another soaking rain. I mean, the wind has been
definitely
a problem.
But definitely good rain.
Yeah. So I haven't watered anything in my garden other than my vegetables. I, you know, watered when I plant little tomatoes and stuff. But I haven't watered anything either. It's just been, I have very heavy clay soil though. On the other hand, don't. Mind you,
we have beautiful loam soil in certain areas, and then we do have clay soil in other areas, which we amend,
of course.
With compost.
Yeah, me too, of course.
Yeah.
And so I always remember your delphiniums as being particularly beautiful. Are they going to be in bloom for next week?
They will be. We've cut back on our delphiniums in the gardens because we've transformed our garden since then. We've had some issues with cyclamen mite on the delphiniums, a type of mite that actually attacked our delphiniums. So we're just we have delphiniums in bloom and we still grow them. Mm. But the mite actually transferred from our monkshood our delphiniums.
Interesting.
That was a few years back. So they're regenerating and they're looking great.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a picture in my mind, Lorraine, of your property. How much are we to acreage? How much are we talking about?
There's actually 24 acres and a bit. We're actually on a property that is very hilly, and we're surrounded by reforested pine forest and spruce trees, and we have 7 acres of hardwood forest.
Oh, sounds beautiful.
And there's nature trails. The botanical gardens includes the formal gardens and also nature trail walks. And we have Centerville Creek, which is a tributary to the Humber River at the whole back of the property. And we also have an acre pond.
Right. I remember
so it's
the
quite
pond.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
wow.
It is.
Sounds gorgeous.
And normally you charge admission for people to come and visit and go on a tour of the gardens. But next weekend is special.
Yes. Garden Fest is next weekend at Plant Paradise. It's our 11th anniversary. Mm-hmm. And we celebrate with free admission to tour the botanical gardens. And I also do some guided tours, mm-hmm. Which is free also. People can sign up online on our website for that. Definitely, it's a great event, and we're open 9 to 5 each day, July 7th and 8th.
And I almost guarantee that you've got one or two of your books that could be purchased, huh?
Yes, definitely. At the because it's always there. The garden center is always free, mm-hmm. but the botanical gardens, we usually do always charge $8, mm-hmm. but that weekend it's free admission.
Nice. So you will have plants for sale. These are all, as noted on your website, organically produced perennials.
Yes, we grow thousands of perennials mm-hmm. here. This year was a bumper crop, and we grow everything organically on site. Everything we grow here, we trial and test in the botanical gardens.
Right.
But we do have all these plants for sale in containers, and there's they're looking beautiful.
Okay.
And yes, we do have some for sale here too. After touring the gardens, you can shop at our garden center.
Is there a website that we could maybe promote for you?
Definitely. Our website is plantparadise.ca.
Well, that's simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay, and, so it's interesting because it also comes up under plantparadisecountrygardens.ca. So I guess
our main site. So most people, it's a mouthful, right? Yeah. So we have both sites. Plantparadisecountrygardens.ca is also our main website. But the other one, plantparadise.ca, gets forwarded to that site.
I got it. Yeah, so, I mean, and there's a whole page here on Garden Fest next week, July 7th and 8th, open 9 to 5. And as you suggest, register in advance for a group tour, and that way you can be organized in terms of having, you know, people looked after and shown of your special, I mean, your collection is quite special. To go on the tour is an opportunity for you to explain to people what you've done and how you've gotten to where you are.
Yeah, definitely. What happens on the tour, I do a guided tour with a wireless microphone. Mm. So it's actually, I go over, just based on my book, because my book, Spectacular Plant Combinations for the Perennial Garden, I photographed all here on site. Mm-hmm. So when I do the tours, I actually go along, I tell you about the history of how it all started. We started just grass trees and house.
Right.
So all these gardens we created from 1999 onward.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go about and I talk about all the plant combinations, how I design the gardens, and how ways we garden environmentally mm-hmm. and sustainably. And I also talk about how I only weed once a year. And I'm the only one looking after these gardens.
No, it's amazing, actually.
And my husband, he cuts the grass. And I get the main help we have here is just for growing the plants.
Right.
I have a greenhouse assistant. So that's watering those containers and everything. Yeah. That's a big job.
Well,
I go along the tour and explain everything. And how all the different combinations and different plants. So it's a fun time.
Obviously,
but definitely, we also do have a little snack area. You can have a muffin or a drink or under the covered patio too.
Nice.
Labor of love is what I
was
describe that.
I was going to say, it is a labor. It's 20 years of labor of love, but it is very beautiful gardens. I'd highly recommend it. And if anybody can get out to Caledon next weekend, join you and your husband at the open house. And congratulations on your anniversary.
Oh, thank you so much. And we've won a few awards. Last year we won Destination Garden Center of the Year from the Canadian Garden Council.
Wow. Yeah, which is great.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that, too.
And a few other awards from our local Headwaters. We won Best Nature and Leisure Visitor Experience.
Wow.
That's great.
So it's always fun.
Educational and fun. That's our mantra, too.
Exactly.
Good stuff. Thanks, Lorraine.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
You're very
Have
welcome.
A great day.
You too.
Alrighty.
Stay
take
cool.
Yeah, stay cool indeed.
Bye-bye.
That's
a nice picture, right?
Oh, beautiful. Some wonderful photographs. And
Lorraine's quite a talented photographer.
Taking all the photographs as well.
Yeah, she has.
Let me remind folks of our phone numbers because we have a couple of lines open right now. 416-360-0740. Anywhere in the province, toll free. 1-866-740-4740. And we're going to be back in just a couple of moments to have a chat with Anton, who is in Pickering.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty, let's go to the phones, Charlie, once again, to check in with Anton out there in Pickering. Good morning, Anton.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
I got maybe a tough question, but anyway, I have about four plum trees.
Mm-hmm.
And those trees, otherwise they're very, very healthy, leaves and all that. They're healthy and nice trees. But I do have that black growth on the branches.
Yes, called black knot, K-N-O-T. Black knot.
And more I cutting, more they're growing.
Right.
There is anything to stop that?
No, that is a fungus, a fungal disease that has it's infected originally probably one tree, but it's the wind blows the spores around, and of course the spores are microscopic, so you can't see those. They land on the tree, they proceed to penetrate through the bark into the tree, and it's an internal disease. So you've got this fungus floating around inside the tree, and what happens, of course, is you start start to get that, what looks like a cancerous tumor-like growth on the branches.
It's
called black knot because it turns black.
Okay.
So the only way, and you never really, you can try and eradicate if you're early in the game when the infection first happens. And it's all about pruning the branches out at least 18 inches in from the knots, from the cancerous looking growths, and being very, very careful to disinfect your pruners between each cut. So it's rubbing alcohol, a dip or wipe on the blades, and then it's removing the infected wood from the property. And not even burning it isn't even a good idea because, again, those spores go up into the smoke and blow around and, you know, you don't actually eradicate it at all. So it is a challenge to get rid of the cut, you know, what you've removed, but it is important to get rid of it because it will continue to reinfect your trees.
Yeah, I've been challenging. I throw two of them out already.
Yeah.
But they're excellent fruit, very good. We like it, and I do have a room for them.
Yeah, well, so I mean, sometimes you'll get the knots so much into the main stem of the tree that there's no option. You just have to take the tree down,
but
as long as the knots are out on the branches, you can continue to prune.
Ugly looking thing, isn't it?
Oh, I was showing Frank the photos of black knot on the web here while we were during that break, and he was like, "Whoa, that is so ugly."
But like I said, if you come and take a look at the tree, you would say, oh, that's a beautiful, healthy tree. It's leaves and everything. It's very, very healthy. I do spray them for those bugs and things like that, but that thing I cannot get rid of it.
No, it's and there is no way to get rid of it other than lucky enough to get rid of it by cutting it out and removing what you've cut from the property.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Anton.
A lot, guys. Have
You're
a nice
welcome.
Weekend.
Yeah, you bet.
You
Happy
too.
Canada Day to you.
Yeah,
as well,
to you guys. Nice talking to you.
Okay.
Enjoy the long weekend.
Indeed. Let's run off to Cambridge. How about that?
Lorraine. Let's canter.
Lorraine on the line. Good morning, Lorraine.
Hi. Good morning. Good. How are you?
Good. I'm sitting out here in my front watching my woodpeckers, my downy woodpeckers.
Oh.
A family of them.
Oh, how cute.
Anyway, I called to see how to get rid of Virginia creeper, and I used some Roundup. I don't use it vigorously. I put some on the bindweed, but I don't think it's working on the
Virginia creeper. Is it from the neighbors, or is it on your property?
It's on my property.
Okay, so is it so it's just growing in the middle of the garden, or it's on a fence?
No, it's right on along the edge of the driveway. It just sort of popped out.
Oh.
I have a very natural place.
Yes.
And like there's a lot of trees and rocks and things come up. Right. I have a wild rose that come up without me. It just came.
Yeah, birds probably dropping seeds.
Yes. So
can you...
It's not going to harm anybody else's place. I might have to dig it up.
Well, what I would do is I would find all those trailers, cut out everything that you can, so you're right back to the main stem.
Okay.
And there you have that stump. So depending on how long that Virginia creeper's been there, it might be something you could dig out if it's recently arrived in the last couple of years. If it's been there for 5 or 10 years, it'll be quite difficult because it'll be a lot of digging. And it is a very difficult plant to kill. Based on my own experience of having planted its sister plant, Boston Ivy, totally regretted it because the plant was just taking over everything. And it was really, really hard to get rid of. And the only way I finally killed it was with a road salt. And I, you know, literally cut it all down. But of course, it kept growing back from the root. And, you know, every day I was out there cutting and cutting and cutting. It just was growing overnight. And finally, I just gave up and I just poured a bunch of salt over the stump. Now, that, of course, made that bit of ground salty.
Yes.
So not a good growing environment for a few years until the salt had slowly been neutralized with water and rain. But it definitely did kill the ivy. So that was something that did work at the end of the day.
Salt. The chemical one or the
No, just, you know, the yellow bag with the black writing that,
okay.
you know, it's the big chunks of salt. That's exactly, yeah, don't get anything that's environmentally friendly.
Cause no, that's what I usually
It's got to be unfriendly.
Before you run away, Lorraine, your call, mentioning your little family of woodpeckers there, brings up a little thought that just crossed my mind. You know, with all the news reports about concussions with football players, hockey players, how come woodpeckers don't get concussions when they're smacking their head against that tree?
One just did about 2 minutes ago.
Yeah. You got a concussion?
Bumped into there and flew off.
But they have some special anatomy. They're, like their brains don't wiggle around in their heads. They have
they mustn't because they have all those fierce pecking they do.
Oh, I know.
That must be terrible.
Oh.
That would be concussive.
Well, there's a woodpecker that always... does a pecking thing on my furnace flue, which is metal. Like, it's really loud.
Yes.
I say, why are you doing that? Like, send, like smoke signals, you know?
Yes, they put, they're Morse pretty noisy, code. even on the wood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have to do some research into that.
Yeah, no, it is. It's fascinating how they do survive.
Yeah. Thanks so much for your call, Lorraine.
Thanks, Lorraine. Have a great weekend.
All righty. We're up against our next break here, but we will return, of course, with more callers. In fact, Rosalie on the line from Hamilton. We'll be checking in with her next.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, it's off to Hamilton. Now, whether it's Hamilton Mountain or down below, I don't know. We'll find out. Hey, there's Rosalie. Good morning, Rosalie.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are you today?
Excellent.
Good. I have a question. We're on the Mount Hamilton Mountain, and we have some fruit trees in our yard. So in the fall, we do prune them. It's an apple and a pear. And as the season progresses, we notice the new shoots coming up, the suckers. Is there a better time to trim those off, or can you trim them off, like, at the end of the summer, in the fall? When's the best time? Because does it affect the growth at all?
Yeah, I would trim them whenever I see them.
Okay.
But I also, when you're doing, you mentioned you do your fruit tree trimming in the fall. You should be doing your fruit tree trimming in the late winter, early spring.
We usually do it probably into November.
Oh.
Yeah, but it's still better to leave the tree through the coldest, darkest days of winter. And then as soon as we get some nice weather, it could be February, it could be March, but it's dry, it's typically sunny, and you can totally see what's going on in terms of the scaffold, branches, et cetera, on the trees.
Mm-hmm.
That's your perfect time to do your pruning. And then shortly thereafter, of course, we get it with the dormant spray, and we've got the trees all ready to go. And you'll have far fewer suckers if you trim then.
Oh, is that right? So wait till it's cold, at least have a bit of a cold spell.
Exactly. Get through the winter into late winter, early spring, and then go to town. Do whatever trimming you need to do. For now, though, remove suckers when you see them. They will never bear fruit.
No.
They are just going to
rob the.
Well, they just slow the air circulation. They block the light. They certainly block the ability of the fruiting branches to grow because they're just putting all the energy into those little spouts, water spouts, we call them.
True. I noticed in the fall, like when we did it probably November-ish, it's not as easy to prune because the leaves are still there.
Exactly.
You're right. The leaves aren't there, so I can see more of the stalk that I have to trim further.
But that's right. And you can stand back and you can, you know, there is correct ways to prune fruit trees.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's opening the canopy, allowing that sun and air to get in.
And
also encouraging fruiting branches. So, you know, accessible fruiting branches. So wide and low is typically what we'll do with the fruit trees.
Yeah, low is better. When they're too tall, you can't get it.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
thanks
thank
for calling,
you.
Have Rosalie. A great
day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
And happy Canada Day as well. We'll send that little note to Patricia in Brantford, who's on the line. Hi, good morning, Patricia.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
I just have a question with regards to about six large blooming salvia plants. But they flop over sort of in a circle, which leaves the center exposed with all the brown, woody stems showing. Doesn't look very attractive. And I'm just wondering, does the salvia need to be supported in some way to prevent this, or what's going on?
Okay, so what you're seeing is the classic of what happens with many of our perennials as they age. Uh-huh. So when you first plant that plant, it's this beautiful little clump, and uh-huh. it grows up green, and then it blooms, and then, you know, winter comes, and it does starts into the cycle. Well, over the years, and this is why we talk about digging and dividing our perennials, because mm-hmm. over the years, the original center of the plant dies out, and mm-hmm. all the new growth is on the outside edge of that clump. So oh. you do end up with that circle. It happens with irises. It happens with many of our ornamental grasses. So the center dies out, but the outer edge or ring is alive. So every 3 to 4 years, we get out the shovel, we dig up the whole clump, we chop out the edges, which is where all that life is, mm-hmm. and we toss out that center barky, dead wood that's not producing any growth whatsoever, and replant either back in the same place or, you know, spread around the garden. But so that's just a maintenance thing. That's what you're seeing. They
so
shouldn't
that has to
flop.
Be done every spring?
Nope. It's more like every 3 to 4 or 5 years.
But in the springtime?
In the spring would be the preferred time, though you could, if it worked better for your schedule, do mm-hmm. it in the fall. It doesn't matter. But oh. either end, spring or fall, not now.
Okay.
Okay.
And then it shouldn't flop. If sometimes plants will flop because they're just too much rain, not enough sun, they'll get, you know, tall and straggly, or too much even fertilizer. So be careful with, hold back on fertilizer on that plant. Mm-hmm. And if necessary, yes, you may have to put some little stakes around just to hold them upright.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, we'll give that a try then.
Okay. All right, Patricia. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
We do have one final call. I hope we can get in
okay.
here. Yeah, a first-time caller, as a matter of fact.
Oh,
hey,
welcome.
That's for Susie in London. Hello, Susie.
Morning.
Hi, Susie.
Hi, how are you?
Whoop, where is she?
Hello.
Hello, there we are.
Go ahead, Susie.
Oh.
What's
okay? I have a pagoda dogwood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
And it's about 7 feet tall, 5 feet wide. Beautiful, lush and green. It's quite old. I think it was grown here when we moved in about 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't flower. It
oh.
flowered earlier on many years ago. It doesn't now.
Have okay, so is it really dense?
Hello?
Do you do any pruning on it?
Hello.
Okay, so tell you what, you hang up and turn up your radio, because we're having trouble hearing you and you're having trouble hearing us. So that's my suggestion, Susie. And a pagoda dogwood is native, lovely plant, typically grown as an understory tree, naturally native to our area. So big, tall trees with this as a smaller tree beneath the canopy. It likes part sun, part shade. It should be thinned every couple of years, because it will get very, very thick and dense, just to encourage that flowering. And the trimming, of course, would take place early in the spring or late in the fall to have that sort of late spring flowering. One of my all-time favorite trees, actually. I really love many of the dogwoods, but I love that one particularly. So, and then make sure it's 20-year-old tree. Make sure you are top dressing around it mm-hmm. with some good...
Amending it.
Yeah, yep. Compost, good organic material, leaf litter, mm-hmm. any of those things that will help feed in a slow, organic way, and you're likely to see some better growth and flowering growth as a result. All right. And that's just about it.
Well, my gosh, look at the time.
30 seconds, 30 baby.
30 seconds left, huh? Mm. Yeah.
Did you want to share anything in the 30
well,
seconds?
Well, first of all, I enjoyed meeting an old friend from Lindsay. Dave and Sheila Peel actually came to the farm yesterday, and we had a wonderful afternoon. So good seeing them again.
Mm-hmm.
Nice touching bases with friends you haven't seen for a while, huh?
There you go. So that's that should be our mantra for Canada Day. Reach out to people you haven't talked to in a while and have some fun with them.
Exactly.
And everybody have a safe and happy holiday. Thanks, Frank. Thanks, Sebastian. And Faz. See you next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.